Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord, and our Lord Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel lesson which Hayden has just read for us. And the theme today, and the theme that you must always remember, Jesus is plainly known. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's Hanukkah in Jerusalem. That doesn't mean much to us, does it? Well, if you're an adult Bible class, you will see that this makes great importance. For this is the winter prior to our Lord's death. It's Hanukkah, the festival of lights in Jerusalem. It's winter time. It's December. And Jesus is strolling through the portico of Solomon, sometimes called Solomon's Porch. It's the oldest section of the temple. And there with Jesus, walking along with him, are his disciples and other members of his entourage. And suddenly Jesus is stopped by the Jews. You see, he's well known. Jesus is very well known by now. His teachings are being repeated. His miracles are being recounted again and again. There are multitudes following him, not only his disciples and the women, but there are people from all over Israel who are following him now. The eyes of Israel, the eyes of the nation are upon him. Could this man from Galilee, this Nazarene, could he be another national hero for us? Could he be the deliverer? Could he be the Messiah? Why, he certainly has potential. But, you know, there's always a but, and the but is this. He lacks political zeal, and he shows no military ambitions whatsoever, especially any kind of ambitions to kick out, to destroy those hated Romans. Is he the Messiah, or isn't he? So the Jews gather around him there in the portico of Solomon. There in Solomon's porch, they surround him and they confront him. How long will you keep doing this? How long will you keep us in doubt? Will you please tell us plainly that you are the Christ? You see, Jesus is plainly known to the people, but still to the religious leaders, to the religious elites, Jesus is still a mystery, even though they, in their heart of hearts, know who he is. So Jesus tells them that he is the Christ. His words identify him. He says it right there in verse 25. I have told you. His words proclaim that he is the Son of God. Remember there in John chapter 8, the great I am's, ego I me. Yahweh, he is telling the Jews that he is God. He is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, he said to them, before Abraham was, I am. Now for the Jews, that's a horrendous thing to say. He was telling them that even before Abraham was born, he was in existence, that he is God. You see, Jesus told them, and he told them, and he told them. Moms and dads, just like you tell your children, you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them. Are they really listening? You see, Jesus was speaking from his source. And his source is the Father in heaven. Yes, you do know me, he says. And you know where I am from. I am not here on my own accord, but he who sent me. He is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. Jesus plainly told the Jews that his Father in heaven has sent him and that he has sent him for a specific mission. Yet the Jews, still blind to the fact, couldn't accept that he is the Messiah. Well, if they won't listen to the words, maybe they'll understand by the works that he does. After all, many of us know many of you by what you do. Most of you are farmers. Some of you may work in a factory. Some of you may have other jobs and other vocations. The most important, that of mother and father. We are known by what we do. Therefore, Jesus tells the Jews, "My miracles testify about who I am." His miracles identify him. He heals the blind. He walks on water. He feeds 5,000 people. The dead are raised. The deaf hear. The mute speak. Jesus tells them by his many miracles, he has proven to them that he is the Son of God, that he is truly the Messiah. And since Jesus speaks the truth, and since he performs these miracles, his followers can easily identify him. You see, his sheep listen to his voice, and his sheep follow him, and his sheep follow him, and him alone. Why do you, his sheep, follow Jesus? Because you know he's the truth. We see this in John 14. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. We know that he is the truth. He is absolute truth. And that absolute truth polarizes people. Either we, his children, embrace the truth, or we must reject the truth. You see, when it comes to our Lord, my dear friends, there is no middle ground. Either you are for him or you are against him. Either you embrace him as your Savior or you reject him as your Savior. We cannot straddle the fence. We cannot one day say we are a Christian and live like a Christian, and then the following day say we are a pagan and live like a pagan. Either you are or you aren't. And that's just the way it is. But you know, we don't always react the way that we should react towards our Lord. Just like the Pharisees. The Pharisees heard his words, and the Pharisees saw his miracles. But they chose to reject. They chose to reject the truth. They wanted the truth to be in accordance with their own ideas and their own thoughts and their plans. All of their ideas and thoughts and plans were not based upon the truth. Rather, they were based upon lies, were based upon, essentially, my friends, works righteousness. But then Jesus comes and he upsets the apple cart, if you will. He comes and he comes to the people as a good shepherd. As a shepherd who can be trusted. As a shepherd who says what he says and what he means he does. There is no ambiguity. There is no mystery. It's obvious who he is. He tells them and he shows them. He tells you and he shows you who he is. You see, Jesus as your good shepherd is very important for you and me. For what does a shepherd do? Well, first of all, a shepherd ensures that the sheep, that they are fed, that they receive nourishment. For you and I know that if you don't feed your children, or if you don't feed yourself, you ultimately will starve to death. Jesus also knows that if we don't come and feed on his word, if we don't come and feed on his body and blood, spiritually we will starve to death. You see, without nourishment, you die. Without nourishment, with no daily use of the Bible, ultimately you will die. With no daily renewal of who you are as a Christian, in the remembrance of your baptism, you could die. with no regular eating and drinking of his body and blood, without being connected to the vine, there is the danger of dying. With no regular fellowship within the flock, and with no regular fellowship in the flock, that means that you're not hearing the word. You're not hearing the truth of the law, that you and I are poor, miserable sinners, and that we break his commandments and we break them much. Commandments 1 through 10, no exceptions, including me. But we also hear the sweetness of his gospel. We hear what he has come and what he has done for us. Here dying on the cross, and then 3 days later rising on the third day, we know as Christians that his tomb is empty, and it will always be empty. That's why it's very, very important for us to receive that nourishment here in the flock. No continual living in Jesus means that there is no continual living of him in you. You will not hear the forgiveness of your sins. You will not hear what he has done for you. And ultimately, your faith will seep away. It will seep away until there is a great nothingness. And on the last day, it's so horrendous for me to think of, that on that great last day, you may think that you're saved, but then Jesus looks at you and he says, "This is so horrible, I don't know you." Your Creator, the one who gave you life at the baptismal font, the one who died for you, the one who feeds and nourishes you, he says to you on the great last day, "I don't know you." That's because you have walked away from him. You rejected the truth. And when you reject the truth, ultimately the truth will reject you. Repent. Repent, dear ones. Repent and believe the truth. Repent and believe what Jesus has done for you. Repent and know that Jesus is plainly known to you and to the whole world. What else does a shepherd do? A shepherd protects. In this hostile life, it requires that you and I, that we are constantly protected. We know that the Christianity is under assault. We know that our Lord is constantly under assault. Satan could not destroy Jesus. So Satan turns his fierce anger against you and against me. And all we have to do is read the newspaper or watch the news, and we see this fierce anger being manifested today against you and against me, the church. We are under assault, dear ones, and we cannot stand by our own. We cannot stand on what we think is the truth, or what we think is the way, or what we think is the life. No, we must stand on the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. For without Jesus as your strong guardian, you stand no chance against Satan. None whatsoever. But he gives you a rock-solid guarantee, just as you heard with the children, that nothing can snatch you out of his hand, that he and his Father are greater than the evil one, and that he has given you eternal life, and that you will never, ever die spiritually. That's his rock-solid guarantee. And since he is the truth, his word, his guarantee is truth. Also, what else does a good shepherd does? He leads. We know from the 23rd Psalm, which we just sang in our sermon hymn, we hear that he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus is always with you, no matter the circumstance. He has told you that he, as your good and great shepherd, he is always with you, leading you and protecting you and feeding you. That's what a good shepherd does. And that's exactly what Jesus does for each and every one of us. Thanks be to our good shepherd. Yes, Jesus Christ is your good shepherd, who has laid down his life for his sheep. And he has done this so that you may be redeemed, so that you will not suffer that second death, so that you will not hear those dreaded words, "I do not know you." Rather, you will hear, "Welcome, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world." That's what the good shepherd does. He leads you into the kingdom that he has prepared for each and every one of you. Yes, we will suffer in this life. We will suffer many, many things. But Jesus has also suffered. And since he himself has suffered, he tells us that we too will suffer, but we are to have no fear. It doesn't matter the disease that you have. It doesn't matter the problems you're having within your family, with your husband, with your wife, with your mother, with your father, whoever it may be. It doesn't matter the problems you're having on the farm. It doesn't matter the problems you're having at work. Jesus tells us that he has overcome the world. And since he has overcome the world, he gives you that rock-solid guarantee that the world will not overcome you. Yes, you may die and you will die physically. But on that great last day, as Jesus was resurrected, you too will be resurrected. And you will see your Lord. You will see your good shepherd. And you will see him face to face and not another. That's his guarantee to you. Jesus is certainly, he's certainly plainly known to you and to me. Therefore, I leave you with these words. Rejoice this day, dear flock. Rejoice in the word of your good shepherd. Rejoice in his law, for he has fulfilled the law for you. Rejoice in his gospel, for in the proclamation of the gospel, what do you hear? You hear the sweetness. You hear the sweetness that all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Forgiven of all of your sins, for Jesus, he is plainly known to you. And he, Jesus, is your good shepherd. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take away the sins of the world. He plainly revealed to us that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. We pray that Ivy, Jordan, Renee, Ansley, Nicole, Thomas, Anthony, and Jordan Dean will always be known by you, Lord Jesus, and that they will continually confess who you are in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, we pray that we will continually confess who you are in thought, word, and deed. We ask that you bless our catechumens. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless us. That as you continue to make plain to us that who you are, that we may also rejoice in whose we are. Lord Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.